From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 30th day of May, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Bandeville, Louisiana. And a bit later in the program, TGM's Matt Bennett will be here from Windsor, Illinois, to look at the cash grain market. Along the way today, we'll hear from Gary Hoff, a tax specialist at Illinois, about the upcoming legacy event, estate planning event, scheduled for the 24th day of June. That's a Monday, not very far away, in Bloomington Normal. It's just $40. And if you haven't figured out just how to pass down the farm or your business, it matters not which one it is, then you probably want to come to this event. I'll have all the details, and we'll talk with Gary Hoff a bit later during this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day mostly lower. The nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat in the July, that's at 698 and three quarters, a settlement price for the harvest month down 4 cents on the afternoon. September there at 708, down 3 1/4. The hard red in Kansas City for the July, a penny and three quarters lower at $7.46. Back in the corn pit from Chicago, July futures down 10 3/4, 654 1/4, the settlement price. September at 591 3/4, 2 cents lower. And December corn down 3 at 562 3/4. The March at 572 3/4, 3 lower. And May corn at 579 1/2 for next year, down 3 cents. Soybeans, July futures 1495 3/4, down 6. August 2 1/2 lower at 1436 3/4. And September at $13.34 1/4 on a settlement price, up 2 3/4. November beans, $12.89 1/4, 3/4 of a cent higher. That's the new crop harvest month. In January futures at $12.94 1/2, down 1/4 of a cent. July bean meal at $440.80, down 3.50. July bean oil at $48.58 on a settlement price, a nickel lower. Live cattle futures in the August contract, $119.05, $1.35 lower. The September feeders at $146.35, down $1.42 1/2. August $1.45 lower at $144.17 1/2. And the June lean hogs at $95.32 1/2, 60 cents higher. July up 47 1/2. That settled at $93.47 1/2. This, of course, is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, July contract $93.65 a barrel. That's up 50 cents. Gasoline at 281 1/2, a penny and 2/10 higher. Ethanol at 269 8/10, 3/10 of a cent higher. And the RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline between the ethanol spread, 11 7/10. That's just 9 4/10 of a cent difference. Natural gas at $4.02 1/2, down 15 9/10. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at 284 4/10, 2 1/2 cents lower. Gold futures for the day, $1,411.80, up $20.20. And the U.S. dollar at 83.03. That's down 0.61 at the hour. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. It's calling for a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. You can see a few pop-up showers on the radar south and to the west of Champaign-Urbana. Partly sunny, a high near 85. It's kind of a busy sell down there, so be careful. Breezy with a south wind at about 21 miles an hour, gusting to 32. Showers and thunderstorms are likely this evening. That'll come mainly after 2 in the morning. Mostly cloudy, a low of 66 degrees on a south wind at 15 to 17. Chance of rainfall tonight set at 70% in the Urbana-Champaign area. And then tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms are likely. Mostly cloudy, high of 82 degrees. Chance of precip tomorrow set at 70%. And that will continue right on through tomorrow night with showers and thunderstorms, cloudy and a low of 67. Saturday, showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 79. Again, a 70% chance of rainfall. That tapers off to 60% by Saturday night with a low of 59 degrees. And on Sunday, a 40% chance of rainfall before 8 in the morning, partly sunny thereafter, and a high of 71. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon and time to check in on the cash, or rather on the futures markets. On the phone line with us to take a look at that is Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
So there's lots of things I suppose you can talk about in the marketplace, in particular the charts. Can you start with new crop corn chart futures for me, please?
I think new crop corn here over the past 6-7 days has really been dressed up, and I think it's on the verge here of shifting the overall trend, which has been sideways to down, been counter seasonal. It's on the verge here of shifting to sideways to higher. To solidify that, we need to kind of take out this April 30th high, about 570. If we could punch that out here tomorrow or early next week, I think then that would solidify that the overall trend in new crop corn has shifted to something more sideways to higher. The chart gap that was left here on Tuesday morning had an upside objective. If you use that as a measuring gap, it met that here the last couple days here of being trading in this 566, 66, 68 area. So it's above its 100-day moving average. We got two closes now above the 100-day moving average. So If one wants to be bullish, I guess the December corn chart is doing what it needs to be done to kind of get it into a long-term bull move. Now, one thing that I like the most about it, now we still have one more day to go yet for the weeks out, but D's corn is going to close out the month of May here with a monthly reversal to the upside, which I think does imply that the market is getting into position to move to the upside.
Right. So when you take a look at that, Dan, there probably are some fundamental reasons, and maybe you can talk about some of those just a bit. One of the things that I saw earlier today was a tweet from Elwin Taylor reminding producers and farmers and those who watch him that this year he believes looks a bit like, I think it was 1947 or 48, I don't recall quite what it is, but it's up on our website at willag.org, and that in parts of Iowa, especially to the I-35 and west side, they still probably, to the western part of the United States, could suffer drought, and in that year that looked most like this year, the rain just shut off, and suddenly we were in very dry conditions.
Well, in order to get these corn into a long-term up move, you're going to have to shorten up the crop from what expectations were. And I think over the last 2 weeks, as the market has decided that the crop is not going to be as big as what USDA projected it to be on the May report, and it has had to readjust its thinking. And as you've heard me many times, May 20th is that critical date, and that is when May corn started to take off to the upside last week, and then we solidified that with this week's gap higher open on Tuesday and the way we went. So what it's telling us is that acreage, we're losing acreage, we're losing yield potential. Now, it's going to be debated how much we're losing. But if the rain forecasts are correct that are being talked about over the next 72 hours, we're going to have some serious problems on our hands here come next week, and then the farmers are going to have to face that decision of whether or not they should go with the prevent plant, just take the check and run, wait around for a few days to see if they can still get planted, and have maybe a reduced guarantee, or maybe switch to soybeans. But we still have a lot of soybeans to plant too. So, we could push soybean plantings well into June too. So, and they tell me that the hard red winter wheat crop up there is as green as they've ever seen it this time of year. So it does look like we're going to have a late wheat harvest, and maybe that tells us that we're not going to have as many double crop beans also.
Then when you look at the chart, November contract for soybeans, it's been dressed up pretty well in the last month. What an 89-cent jump, which isn't nearly as much as it might be for corn, but it's still a pretty good-sized jump.
Yeah, we basically have regained everything that we've lost since the March stocks report. We've actually posted now three closes above that pre-stocks report high of 1288. It's yesterday it touched the 200-day moving average. Today I think was considered more of a consolidation type phase after Monday's big push up. We'll see whether or not we can regain the momentum on Friday and go on up through that 200-day moving average. But yes, the way I look at the chart, it looks to me like November soybeans' next stop is to try to go on up into this 1324 area, which is a 62% retracement back to the contract high.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Now remember, if you'd like to hear Dan again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. One thing to tell you about that we talked yesterday about during the closing market report was the prevent plant dates, and that would be available to those who have crop insurance. I was not thinking well enough about that one, and actually, if you take GRIP, that is not an eligible product for prevent plant. Other crop insurance products, of course, are eligible for prevent plant. And you can see a bit more about that on our website, too, in our Twitter feed at Commodity Week. It's all part of the service that comes to you from WILLAG.org.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Up next, have you done any estate planning for the family farm or your business? If not, I have some tips from Gary Hoff and a seminar you'll want to attend on the 24th day of June. That's not very far away. It's a Monday, and it's just $40. I'll MC the event in Bloomington. Gary Hoff is here to talk a bit more about protecting the family farm legacy, estate, and succession planning. Gary, thanks for being here. Tell me about the program.
It's very important that farmers really understand what's involved in estate and succession planning. And whereas the tax school in the past has only provided continuing education for tax professionals, we thought this would be a great opportunity to get out to the farming community, because so much has happened with the tax code that they really need to be thinking about their own situation. Estate planning is a long-term project. It's not just walking into the attorney's office and say, draft me a will or give me an estate plan. Takes a lot of thinking. And it's more than just what goes into the will. So we're trying to do a very complete job of at least getting information in front of people so they can understand where their situation is today and be thinking about what they might want to do to be able to maintain that family farm for the next generation.
It's about handling assets, whether you're the farmer or the landowner, absentee or on the property, either one, correct?
Very much so. It's more than just for the active farmer, okay? I own land. It's been in the family for 40 years. I want my family to be able to hang on to it for the next 40 or 140 years, even though I work off farm and there's someone else doing the farming. We still want to keep it in the family.
What are the primary things people will learn about during the day-long event?
We're going to start off talking about the family dynamics. Family dynamics is one of the things that I don't see given a lot of thought to. What do I mean by that? Well, I've got a couple of children farming with me, and I've got some other children that don't farm with me. How should I plan my estate plan around that to make it work for everyone? One of the big things that I see happening is they haven't discussed it with the heirs. And consequently, this ends up being a big problem, or could be, in the future. If they only find out that Sonny is inheriting all the farmland when they read the will, and the rest of the children get nothing or very little, there may no longer be any family Christmas dinners after Mom and Dad are gone. Mom and Dad need to have that discussion. They need to tell everyone why they have set it up that way. One of the things that I have seen that's pretty effective is if Mom and Dad don't want to sit down with the children, they should at least videotape their will and tell the children, this is why we planned and did things this way. Okay? The farming child has been working on the farm for 30 years, has helped us build up all the equity that we have in that farm, was doing it with less than market wages, and we felt like this is the time that we need to reward him for all that extra work. And that could be a son or a daughter, or it could be multiple children within the family.
Tell me about the day's events, what happens throughout this day, and what the cost is, when and where it is, those sorts of things.
When, where? Cost is very economical. It's $40. The reason it's at that fee is because Farm Credit is a major donor for the program, as well as some individuals. It's at the Marriott Hotel in Normal, Illinois. That fee includes breakfast, lunch, breaks, everything you want, going from 8:30 in the morning to 4:45 in the afternoon. So it's a full day. We're going to have five major sections as a part of this. The first one's the family dynamics. Then the next will be Richard Walden, who's a CPA from Carlinville. He's going to talk about the selection of entities. If I want to pass this operation on to the next generation, should I be looking at a partnership, an S corporation, a C corporation, limited liability company? Should I be putting things in trust, etc.? So explaining how each of those works. Next part then will be a couple of attorneys. One of them is going to be talking about basic trust terms so that you can understand what it is that your attorney is speaking about. And then the next one is advanced trust techniques and planning that's out there. We no longer look at just the simple AB trust or marital deduction trust, which many of the people that are there, that's what their estate plan will be. But the change in the tax law that we have had really is making that inadequate and may end up that after the death, it's not doing what the people wanted to do. For example, that typical trust said that all of the assets in value up to the marital deduction amount or the federal exemption amount would go into one trust. The second trust then would be the remainder of the assets. So what went into that first trust was all federal tax-free. What went into the second trust, all those assets are available for the survivor and is taxed in the survivor's estate. Well, when we had a $1 million exemption amount or less, that worked very well. But now that we're sitting today with a $5.25 million exemption, there may be nothing left to go into this other trust. Consequently, not leaving that surviving spouse anything to live on. So it's all a matter of the language. It needs to be reviewed. Your advisors need to tell you exactly what's going to happen with that existing plan. My suggestion for everyone, as rapidly as we get changes in the tax law, is that every 2 years at the minimum, they have their plan reviewed.
What day of the week?
What day of the week? It's June 24th. It's on a Monday.
How much is the cost and where do you register?
Cost is $40. You can register directly to the Tax School website, which is www.taxschool.illinois.edu. Or you can make a phone, you can fax in a registration. I'll be happy to do it any way that you like.
Walk-in's available?
Walk-in should be available that day. It's good for anyone, okay? Even if you're not a landowner, okay? It's good information. Everyone that's in a business, a family-type business, has the same type of issues. Now, you might treat a farm asset a little bit differently, but the techniques are still the same.
Gary Hoff is a tax specialist at the University of Illinois. He and I have been discussing the Protecting the Family Farm Legacy event that's scheduled for the 24th day of June. That's a Monday in Bloomington Normal. I'll MC the day's events. You can come see me and learn a great deal about estate tax planning if you'd like. Again, that's the 24th day of June in Bloomington, Illinois. Pre-registration, not completely required, but you probably ought to go online and do it anyway. You can find out more by searching Google for this series of words, Illinois Family Farm Legacy. That again is Illinois Family Farm Legacy. You're going to look for the Illinois Tax School. Should be the first thing that comes up. It is sponsored in part by Farm Credit, and I hope to see you there on the 24th day of June. In just a couple of minutes, I'll return. We'll take a look at the cash grain market with Matt Bennett.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's National Mint Julep Day. The origins of the mint julep are clouded, but the first appearance of a mint julep in print came in a book by John Davis, published in London in 1803. But the recipe did not specify the use of bourbon. The mint julep became the signature drink at Churchill Downs in 1938. It was first served in a souvenir glass for 75 cents. On this day in agricultural history in 1783, the first daily American newspaper was published in Philadelphia, the Pennsylvania Evening Post. By the way, the Declaration of Independence's first appearance in a newspaper was in that publication. In 1834, Nancy Johnson received the first U.S. patent for an ice cream freezer. The freezer had a revolving shaft with two curved wings to move the cream. The ice cream tub itself also turned. In 1864, Johann Bodmer died, a Swiss mechanic. He established a small factory in 1824 that made the process from carding to spinning wool continuous. The first of its kind machinery was widely adopted in England and the U.S. and is regarded as having revolutionized the industry. And in 1899, George Cook patented an automatic fishing device. The device featured a trip lever activated by tension on the fishing line, which would also ring an alarm gong and take up the line on a spring drive reel. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Thursday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market with Matt Bennett. He's at TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I know you are a user of Twitter, and so am I. And one of the things that came across the feed in the last 20 minutes or so was a picture of Minnesota farmers gathered at an AgStar event. That's part of Farm Credit, and they sell crop insurance. And they were in, I suppose, Minnesota. I didn't quite catch where that was, but I can't imagine this was not the case. I did some research, found out that it was actually the case that there were 500 farmers at this event, and they were talking about Prevent Plant. That would be an awfully large number of farmers at a single event to talk about crop insurance, in my opinion.
Yes, it would be a big number, and I think that there's probably more than one event that could be held with that many farmers, unfortunately, because there's a pretty wide area of people that, rumors that 3 and 4 days is all they've had to get in the fields all spring, and so they're in a precarious situation right now.
What are you hearing from south of you? There will be a few counties in the state of Illinois where the Prevent Plant date is tomorrow, May 31st.
Yeah, and I guess it remains to be seen just how close they are, if guys are going to try to push it or if they're going to, plan it here in a few days and still only lose 5%. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what comes of it. But whenever you look at the economics of it, there's a lot of people that when you get maybe north of where we're at in here and where, maybe I-80 and north, they look at the economics of what their yields might look like if they go ahead and plant this time of year versus whether they go ahead and take the preventative plant, 60%. And the economics of it, quite frankly, for a lot of people, look a whole lot better just to take preventative plant.
When you start doing the numbers in your head or just figuring on paper of total acreage and what yield might be, what do you come up with at this point? What do you think the carryout might look like?
Well, I think that there's still an outside chance, that we could be looking at a bigger carryout still. It's tough to tell, Todd. I mean, your guess is as good as mine on how many acres we're actually going to lose. I mean, there was a lot of talk that people felt like we might have actually gained a few acres in certain areas, whenever we were able to get planters rolling. But, when most places didn't get more than 7 days to work with, to me, I'm having a hard time coming up with a lot of extra acres in the heart of the Midwest. When you get in the northern Midwest, I do think that you're probably in a situation where you're probably going to lose at least 3 to 4 million acres. And so yield could still be excellent depending upon the weather. Obviously, I was really getting hit with just a ton of rain here in the last few days. Carry out could grow, but my guess right now is that we're probably looking at kind of a teeter-totter right now, depending upon what weather is the rest of summer.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn, I'd be looking at 685, 540 for fall. Cash beans, 1533, and 1262 for fall.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett. He's with TGM out of Windsor, Illinois, and helps us wrap up this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. If you'd like to see my Twitter feed, it's up on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. You have a great and a very safe afternoon.
Learned Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learned Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.